Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. A clergyman included in his report that 9 people were lost at sea. Now the congregation knew of events and they're a little bewildered. He said, and they asked him, and he answered and said, well, it's like this. 11 people requested prayers for safety when they went to sea. And only 2 asked me to give thanks for their safe return. So I figured 9 must have been lost at sea. We see a similar sounding event that takes place in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. We find there it happened that as Jesus went down to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and then he entered into a certain village. There he met 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, Master, Jesus, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priest. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Pretty amazing. Now, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down at Jesus' feet and giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Here's a story that you're familiar with, perfect for Thanksgiving. And I looked back and said, did we ever go through this passage for Thanksgiving? I said, no, we had not. Well, it's about time we did. An excellent example of giving thanksgiving to God and how true it is even in our own lives. And we're all guilty of it, whether usually unintentionally. We're unthankful or absent-mindedly. We don't communicate our gratitude. We're all guilty of it at times. Not just though to each other, but especially to God. This morning I want to encourage you to be thankful to our Lord in light of the text that we have before us. To be thankful for everything He's given to us. Those answers of prayers that we beg the Lord for, to those not just answers of prayers, but those needs that He meets and even desires, even without us asking. What a tremendous God we have that He does that. So I look at this passage, I see that one of the things that we should be thankful for is that we should be thankful that you can ask God. Be thankful you can ask God. Here's a situation where there are 10 people with skin disease. Now, the word leprosy can refer to a number of skin diseases. It's not just a simple little rash, though, that you got because you're playing in the yard or got a bug bite, but an actual serious skin disease. Here it says they had leprosy. Whether actual leprosy or not, when you had a skin disease such as leprosy, which would not be uncommon in that era, one of the things you did was that you were basically banished from society. You had to live outside of town. And because you had to live outside of town, and when people approached you or walked by you, one of the things that they had to do is to announce that they were unclean. In other words, don't come to us because you might catch it. Now, some of you here may be dealing with, getting over, or just can't wait till you have a cold. And you know that you're somewhat contagious, so you make sure you're not coughing all over everybody or some such things as that. Now, that's kind of you. And we're kind and loving enough and trust God to preserve us enough not to banish you from all of Omaha. But that's the way they did with leprosy. God said, God instructed them, when they have this, you need to be away. It was for the sake of the rest of the people. Leprosy, you might note in the scriptures, is often tied in with sin. It was one of the judgments of sin. Not always. And here the point, whether this man sinned or their parents, was asked one time of a blind man. The point is whether or not they're sinful. We're all sinful. But it was a group of people that had a skin disease. And having a skin disease like that, they could be looked down upon. They're one of those people. Here's a people that's not favored. A people that has been ostracized from others. Not even necessarily willingly, but even by force, if not willingly. Jesus comes by. And as he comes by, they lift their voices and say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." A people that is an outcast going to somebody of great recognition. Jesus could have said, "I don't want to be identified with those people. Those people got something wrong with them." He could have thought to himself, "They have some kind of skin disease. That's why they are out here. And they're wrapped up with leprosy. You bandaged yourself up. I don't want anything to do with that. I really don't need that funky disease." Ever think about the way that God is absolutely holy and perfect? The way that God, the fact that He exists, and He looks down upon us. Even as if we were to look down upon all the ants running across the kitchen table. They don't care that you're there. And you would not have noticed them even. And you wouldn't have noticed them if it had not been that you saw that the watermelon that you bought is moving. You wouldn't have paid any attention to them whatsoever. And even at that, you don't care about their family. People are a bunch of heartless people, is what it sounds like. You don't care about their family. You don't care about the things they're struggling with other than that big old watermelon. You don't care about them at all. But you do look and say, "Well, this seems to be a problem." And so you make good use of the newspaper. Or you go to the kitchen cupboard, because that's a good place to keep poisonous stuff. And so you take the spray and spray them down and kill them off, right? You don't care about those ants. And the entire universe, how many billions and trillions of stars and of everything that's out in space, we don't even know. And yet one tiny planet amongst one of the billions of galaxies, and you are one amongst 6 billion people. Who are you that God would listen to you? Even as these lepers were nobody of note, they had some skin disease and were ostracized from society. Who were they that they had right to audience to Jesus? Nobody in particular. Yet God had mercy on them. We need to be thankful that we can ask God. The fact is that God is real. What does an atheist do when they need help? Funniest thing is all of a sudden they get religion. But a true blue atheist, one that hates God. How can you hate God if He doesn't exist? I don't know. But they hate God. They take and do what when they're in real serious trouble? They look to themselves and they know they don't have the strength. They don't have the means. They don't have the abilities. They look to their friends. What are they supposed to do? What hopeless despair of life. But here, a people with hopeless despair of life. They had a disease that would take their life. What hope did they have? In and of themselves, none. But they went to Jesus. They knew He could do it. What can we do? We can go directly to God. You ever been thankful to God that He is God? That He exists? Not only that He exists, He calls and says in Isaiah chapter 45, 5 and 6, I am the Lord, there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun till the setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, there is no other. Not only is He real, but God hears us. You don't hear the screams of those ants as they crawl across the table and you start smashing them. You don't hear little screams and cries and other ants standing around having little funeral services for the ones you smashed. No, you don't see or hear that. Yet God, as great as He is, not only is He out there as real, He's here, imminent, among us. And He hears our prayer. Jesus, they cry out, Jesus, Master, Jesus was available. He was there as He walked by, as He walked by, they saw Him. And so they cry out to Him. And Jesus, He sees them, turns and says, go, show yourself to the priest. He heard them. God hears us. Psalm chapter 6, verse 9, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. Some people believe that God is out there and He doesn't care about what's going on here. I was talking with a guy a while back, a few years ago. He believed that God kind of set everything in motion, but then has nothing to do with us. A deist believes that. That God, He exists, that He sets things into motion, He does what He wants, but for the most part, He can kind of care less. He doesn't get involved in what we do. Here clearly you see that God hears. And He's answered because the psalmist writes, I'm going to do this all as long as I live. We need to be thankful we can ask God. How many people exist out there that don't ask God? That don't believe He's there to ask? How many people are out there and they don't ask God because they don't think He hears, doesn't care? How many people are out there and they're going to spend sitting around the turkey dinner and they're going to be grateful in their hearts, but not thankful to God? Oh, I'm so thankful we have turkey. I'm so thankful for my family. I'm so thankful for football. I'm so thankful for whatever. But are not thankful to God. God not only hears, but He's all-powerful. God is all-powerful. That means God not only hears, but He's able to answer. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32, 27. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Again in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing will be impossible. God can answer. So God is real. God hears. God can answer. He's all powerful. They looked at Jesus here, these ten. They looked at Jesus. He's available to them. They cry out to them. He hears them. We know because he responds. And they believe he is powerful to heal them. Why do I say that? Because they walked and did what he said. They obeyed. We can be thankful to God because God answers. God does answer. Jesus indeed caring for them answered. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Ephesians, we're told that God is able to do all that we are able, more than we are able to ask and to think. As we look at what the scriptures say, we can see God, what we should be thankful for God. That we can ask God. Because one, he's real. That he hears us. That he's all powerful to be able to answer. And that he indeed does answer. How many times have we had answers to prayer in our lives? We see some of the folks here standing here with answers to prayer. Typically we see in the physical realm. In the realm where there's healing. Mary is healing from surgery and it's going well. God is answering our prayers by bringing that healing we desire. Now wait a minute. Everybody knows that when you get a cut or something, you heal. Oh, is that true? Or is it possible that you might not heal? Oh, it is true that you might possibly not heal. In fact, you might have trouble with something healing up and get infection. In fact, that infection could be so serious that you end up dying. To say that God is not involved in healing is to ignore what he is able to do. They knew that God could heal physically. That's why they called out to him. Not only physically that way, but financially. How many of us have had answers to prayer in our lives where a need has come up and God has met that need in various ways? Whether it's by a job or a special opportunity for work or even by a gift from somebody. We had a sink problem yesterday. Isn't it the thing you really want to do on a day off is fix the sink? I never knew it took so long to fix the sink. But it does. And you have to go back because you realize you need a part, and so you go get a part. The first thing is we got a threefer and we have a onefer. Your sink has just so many holes in it. And we bought a three-holer. And you know how many holes we've got? One. So we take that back. Now the connections aren't long enough and won't fit the extensions we have. So go back. Some idiot thought you only needed one. So when I installed it, I had to go back and get a second one because not only do we have hot water, we have actually cold water too. So I don't know what I was thinking when we bought one of them. Did you know that faucets are not cheap? Well, they can be, but wives don't like those ones. We ended up buying a faucet, had to exchange and got the right one. And God had provided for that. That was fantastic. You know, God meets our needs. How fantastic is that? Even if we have to take four trips to get it done right. I'm thankful he provided gas money. You know, we need to be thankful to God because he hears when we pray. And we can be thankful to God because we can trust him. Notice the response. The response is outstanding here because there's no mention of healing until after they're on their way. What that says to me is that these 10 people that had leprosy When Jesus said, go your way, show yourself to the priest, they said, okay, we're going to do that. Why would they do that? They would do that to see if they've been healed. When Jesus, it says here in the text, it says that when they were on their way, as they went, at the end of verse 14, they were cleansed. So when Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest, they looked down, what did they see? Leprosy. Why would they go see the priest? They trusted God. Why else would you go if you don't trust God? So they trusted God, and they went, and as they go, how did it happen? Did all of a sudden they kind of look down and say, I thought I only had nubs left for fingers. They look longer now. Was it maybe that someone had an itch, and as he itched, there's some of the flaky that came off, but instead of open wound, it was fresh skin? What happened? How far did they get? How far did they get, I wonder, and then all of a sudden they're running to the priest out of excitement. None of that's here. It's all speculation. But what I do see is that they trusted God. God is trustworthy. Why did they do what some stranger told them to do? They certainly had heard of Jesus. It had been 3 years of his ministry. His name was renowned. But as soon as he said, go show yourself to the priest, they didn't come and ask for a hug or nothing or ask him to touch them. They said, sure, we're going to go do what you said. And as they walked by faith, what happened? They were healed. God is trustworthy. They trusted Jesus enough to even ask him, knowing that he could do it. They trusted God as they left. How fantastic to know that we can trust God. God is trustworthy, isn't he? We can look in our own lives and see how trustworthy and faithful God is. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, what does he say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. There are times that it feels like God has forsaken us, but he hasn't. He's there. Would there be any reason for God to forsake us? Oh, certainly. No? Yes, there is. Any of you sinned this last week? What does God think of sin? Does he allow sin to be in his presence? No. But he's faithful to us. How is he faithful? Because he sent Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin. And to pay that price, that penalty we deserve. And he said, if we put our trust in him, that he will save us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, face judgment, but have everlasting life. He's made those promises. Is he faithful to them? Yes, he is. How do we know? He says he is. He's always been faithful. He's been faithful from the beginning. We can look at the example of Israel. In many ways, we can look at them as call them the most faithless people. And yet, God was always faithful to them. And sure enough, he's faithful to us. He still hears us, still answers our prayer. He still allows us to make things right with him. He has never cast us out. He is faithful. We can trust him. We can ask God. We can trust God. Is there more to be thankful for? That might summarize it up. We can trust Him for our salvation. We can trust Him for our healing. We can trust Him to guide us. We can ask Him to help us. How can we be thankful? A couple reasons, a couple things to be thankful for. Be thankful now by worshiping God. By worshiping God. Again, this Thanksgiving season tends to be a day where we sit down in our thankful gratitude, a feeling of satisfaction. I'm so glad that I have my family. I'm so glad that we have food on the table. I'm so glad the way that God's provided us for this last year. I'm thankful for His promises He will provide for me for this next year. I'm thankful for the great salvation that I have in Jesus Christ. But are those acts of worship or just attitudes of gratitude? You could write that one down because that was pretty cool. Attitude of gratitude. Our thankfulness needs to be worship, not just an attitude of gratefulness. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. 9 people, 10 people are walking away from Jesus. As they're walking away from Jesus, and who knows how far they get. But as they're going, one of them, he stops and turns around. He knows what's happened. He knows that he's not just has an attitude of gratitude that he's been healed. He knows God Himself has just changed his life. Could you imagine the culture shock? You've been living how long? Out in the wilderness? Away from society? And now you're going to be allowed to move back? And be with everybody else? He knows that God didn't just heal his body, just his whole life is going to change. He can go get real work and eat real food. He can have friends other than a bunch of guys that are falling apart. They'd probably still be his friends. Of course, they were healed too, so now they'll all be friends. What a change, dramatic change that would take place. He recognized this as an act of God. I'm sure the others, they believed that too. But he was the one that went back and turned and gave thanks. And what's interesting here is I think there's an implication. I don't want to read into it. So I'm trying to be careful here. But there says there's 10, and it points out that this particular guy was a Samaritan. It seems to lend itself to imply the other 9 were Jews. And who was the thankful one? The one that's God's people, or the one that's kind of one of those weirdos that are, you know, they're a half-breed? It was a half-breed that was thankful. The ones that should have been most thankful in worshiping God were not. It was the other guy, perhaps he did have more reason to be thankful because he wasn't necessarily favored by God as a blood Jew. Regardless of the implications that are there, what I notice is this guy turns around and he goes back and says thank you to God. How ought we to give thanks to God? Isn't it not always for everything? Are we not told that when we go and pray that we should do so with thanksgiving? I look here and I see here's a guy that has his life changed and he gives thanksgiving to God. Has your life been changed and are you giving thanksgiving to God? How often is God doing things in our life And we fail to stop either privately or publicly and say, thank you, God. Not just have an attitude of thanksgiving, but to express it to Him. Jesus is disappointed. Wasn't there 10 of you? And only you, a foreigner, come to praise God? It's really a rebuke against the other guys. I always, as a younger person, always said, you know what? He should have got back at them by unhealing them. You know what's really great about God? God is so gracious that even when I'm unthankful, He still does good things. Just be honest with yourself. How unthankful are you? You have a job? You have a house? Some other form of income? Do you have a family? Do you have friends, a church building, the freedom to meet in a church? Do you have the blessedness of having brothers and sisters in Christ that you can appeal to who will pray on your behalf? Do you have a God that gets you up in the morning? God that helps you to be able to get ready and get off and do the things that you need to do? Do you have a God that heals you when you're sick and He in His time brings healing? Do you have a God that has such tremendous grace upon you that even though you're going through the worst time in your life, you have that confidence knowing God is right there? He's going to pull you through it. And use it as an opportunity to help you grow in your faith. In Psalms, a couple of the Psalms, says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. What hope is there for a fool? God does so much for them and they don't see it. They're unthankful, ungrateful. Yet God is still good to them. Time will come. Time will come when judgment will be there. I'm thankful for the fact that somebody shared with me who Jesus Christ is. I'm thankful for the opportunities that I've had to share Jesus Christ with others. Including this last Tuesday, two more kids came back and we talked about, and it was about salvation. They wanted to make sure that they were saved. So I asked a few questions. As I did, it became evident that they had placed their faith in Jesus Christ. The one said he did so one of the first nights they came to Awana. Wow. God changes hearts that way. Isn't that great? Changed my heart. And I'm thankful that He's called me and you to be the herald, the announcer to others that He can change their heart as well. So this morning, I encourage you to be thankful. To be thankful in all that God does. Sometimes our thankfulness is difficult to come by when times are tough. But when it is, just consider the two men that were walking in a field one day. They spotted an enraged bull. They darted towards the nearest fence, but the bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was apparent they weren't going to make it all the way to the fence. Terrified, the one shouted to another, "Put up a prayer, John, for we're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I never made a public prayer in my life." "But you must," his companion said. "The bull is catching up with us." "All right," panted John. "I'll say the only prayer I know. The one my father used to repeat at the table. Oh Lord, For what we're about to receive, make us truly thankful. I hope you're not in that situation. But we can still be thankful, knowing God's with us, cares for us, and helps us. Father, I thank you so much. With all eternity before you in worship, we'll never be able to thank you enough. How good and gracious and kind and loving. Father, so often we think about provision for our needs, our physical needs, financially, the food on the table, the companionship that we have. But Father, we thank you so much for spiritually what you've done in our hearts. Salvation. I pray that if there's any here that has not experienced that great salvation, that they will today. They'll recognize their sinfulness before you, that they'll come believing before you, believing that Jesus died for their sins and came back to life. That they'll put their trust in what he did by paying for the penalty for their sin and accept that free gift you offer. Father, I pray that for those of us that have, that our gratitude will be ongoing, that indeed we will worship you with our voices, that we'll give praise and honor to you for everything that you do. Lord, I ask that you would help us today, that we will continue to build on, as Thanksgiving comes, not only just an attitude where we're grateful for what's given to us, but Lord, we'll make it an act of worship and give you praise, whether it's through prayer or giving or serving or whatever we might do to give honor to you for what you've done for us. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name.